All right, let's take our Bibles this morning and turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. Matthew, chapter 2 for the message this morning. I want to take another look at these wise men. They intrigue me. Oh, my. These guys, I can't wait to get to heaven to get the whole story. I want to hear everything. And I want to learn their names. I want to see how many there were. I want to see how long it took them to get across the desert. It was about a little over a 500-mile journey for them. I want to hear about the rivers they had to cross and the hot sands they had to cross and the snow they had to cross. Do you see they got a snowstorm in Israel this week? You know, they had a couple of feet of snow. Jerusalem was covered. I mean, just nor'easter, Middle Easter. They had a Middle Easter. And they just got socked with snow, which was the first measurable snow in 50 years. They just don't get snow. Snow on palm trees, go figure. And it snowed. All over in Gaza, first time in recorded history that it snowed in Gaza, which is desert. That's what the Bible says, that he went down to Gaza, which is desert. So it was amazing. And I want to get the whole story from these guys. So it's an amazing, intriguing story. And let's just highlight a couple of things beginning in verse 1. It said, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem." So notice they came to Jerusalem. It's only natural they would. That's the capital city of Israel. And so they came to Jerusalem. That's where the temple was. If anybody would have known where the king of the Jews had been born, it was the people of Jerusalem. And here's what they said. "Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. Now let me stop and emphasize. I've emphasized it before, but it needs to be emphasized again because you need to know this when you read your Bible. Christ is a title. His name was Jesus. They called him Jesus Christ, Jesus the Christ. Christ means Messiah. Now, all through the Old Testament scriptures, from Genesis 3, when man first sinned, God promised a Redeemer. The entire Old Testament is how God got that Redeemer to this earth. It's all picture, type, representation, prophecy about the coming of the Christ, the Messiah. And so when these wise men came to Herod and into Jerusalem and said, "Where is he that is born king of the Jews?" what they were asking is, where is the Christ? Where is the Messiah? Where's the king? Because the Old Testament told us he was a king. The one that was coming was a king. And so Herod asked the scribes, what's the Bible say about the where the king, the Christ, will be born? And so in verse 6, or verse 5, it says, "And they say, said unto him, in Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet." Now that prophet is Micah. And in chapter 5 and verse 2, Micah said these words, "And thou Bethlehem," verse 6, "in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." Now, if you'll read over in verse 16, you will find out that he had no intentions of worshiping the Christ. None. Why he wanted to know where he was so that he could go kill him. Herod was not a Jew. Herod was an Edomite, and he was hated. He hated the Jews, and he was hated by the Jews. He was king because the Romans appointed him king. He was not chosen to be the king, certainly not in a democratic election. The Jews would have never chosen an Edomite to rule over them. He was a heathen. He was despised. And there's no way that Herod wanted anyone who would be a threat to his throne. So he said in verse 16, or Matthew said in verse 16, that he sent soldiers down to Bethlehem to kill all the babies 2 years old and under. All right? Now, that 2 years old and under is important. Why? Well, go back to verse 9. Verse 9 says, "And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the," what's the next two words? "Young child was." Now, a two-year-old would be a young child, right? A two-year-old would be a young child. Verse 10, "When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the," what's the next word? House, not stable, not stable. I don't think these wise men showed up at Bethlehem. I don't think that they made it to Bethlehem. I think they instead, when they left Herod, started towards Bethlehem, and then the star led them north to Nazareth. Nazareth was where Joseph and Mary lived. They went to Bethlehem to register for the tax for Obamacare in a roundabout way, depending on what era you live in. And when they went to register is when she gave birth. But they did not stay in Bethlehem. They went home. And so I think Jesus was probably 2 years of age, or around 2 years, when the wise men showed up. I can't prove it, but I think that on the night that he was born in Bethlehem, when the shepherds came and worshiped him, I think that's when the star appeared. And then they had to get everything ready for the trip. It would not be an easy endeavor to come across the desert. And so as they came, time progressed. 2 years went by before they finally found him in verse 11 in the house in Nazareth. All right. So they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way. All right, now if you keep reading down to verse 13, 14, and 15, you will see that Joseph and Mary were warned of God to get out of town because Herod was on a rampage. He wanted the young child dead. All right, he wanted to kill him. How did these poor people get down to Egypt? That would be a big undertaking. How did they get down there? Well, don't forget, the wise men came and gave them gold. They gave them gold. They had wealth at that time. So many things to this story. And when you fill in the blanks and when you look at it in context, these guys are amazing. And their message to us is amazing. I want to speak to you about these wise men this morning, and I'm going to entitle the message, "Finding What You're Looking For." These guys were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for Jesus, and nothing was going to stop them. And they found him. They found what they were looking for. Let's pray together and in the message. Our Father, thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you will bless what I'm about to say. May it make sense. May we fit it all together. May we see the beauty and the wonder of the scriptures. May we, Father, glean from the lessons that are here. There are so many truths that we can apply to our own lives. And Lord, I pray you'll help us to do that this morning. May the Spirit of God move and work in our midst and touch our hearts with your truth. And we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said a moment ago, this second chapter of Matthew telling us about the wise men coming from the east has always intrigued me. They created quite a stir when they came into Jerusalem. We are told in verse 3 that Herod the king and all of Jerusalem were troubled by their arrival. I want you to think for a moment that Jerusalem was the heart of Judaism. It is where the temple was. It is where the texts were. It is where the Bible was, the Old Testament scriptures. And they knew those Old Testament scriptures frontwards and backwards. Question, did not their scriptures tell them of a coming king? Well, of course it did. So why should they be troubled? Of course, we can understand why King Herod would be troubled. He was troubled because he, no doubt, saw someone who was going to make a play for his throne. So naturally, he would have been troubled, but I wonder why Jerusalem was troubled. I think that I could tell you why they were troubled. They weren't looking for the king. They weren't looking for him. There were so many, there are just so many things that I see in these wise men that I find to be amazing qualities. I admire their dogged determination to find the one that they were looking for. It would have taken them a long time to march across that desert. I think it would have taken them a long time to get prepared to march across that desert, to leave Babylon and to come to Jerusalem. But marched on, they did. And I imagine that they were so thrilled with great anticipation when they came east or came west and saw that God was leading them to the holy city of Jerusalem. I can just imagine that they got all excited about that. They were coming to the place that was mentioned over and over and over throughout all of the Old Testament scriptures. And so with great anticipation, they came, and when they realized that God was leading them into Jerusalem, you can imagine the excitement that was in their hearts. But then I want you just to think for a moment how shocked they must have been when they came into the city of Jerusalem and the city did not share in their enthusiasm. You see, when they came into the city, they found a city full of people who had no idea that the king had been born. They had no understanding whatsoever that God had done anything. The people did not share in their enthusiasm. They probably, the wise men, probably thought that they would find Jerusalem rejoicing and illuminated with excitement and thrill. But when they came into town, it was just business as usual, as if nothing had happened at all. Now, folks, just think about it. When a caravan came in to town from the east, everyone would come running to see the strangers from a land so far away. So just imagine Jerusalem's surprise when they came running to see these men, and they announced that the reason that they were coming was because they wanted to worship the king that had been born, the king of the Jews. None of the people of Jerusalem knew anything about a king. And so they, these being determined men who had come so far, decided to search themselves. They went throughout the city asking, where is the one that is born King of the Jews? And when no one knew where he was, they went to the highest authority, to King Herod. You say, well, how would Herod give them an audience? Well, folks, don't forget, these men were kings themselves. These men from Babylon were princes themselves. They were royalty themselves. They were highly educated. They had wealth beyond comprehension. They traveled in the most sophisticated means. And everybody thinks because of the nativity scene that there were three of them. Oh, no, no, no. It would have been 100, 200 of them in this caravan. You would not dare go across the desert with gold in your possession and not bring with you a host of people to guard that gold. And decked out, oh, I can imagine that they had the finest of the finery on all of their camels. And as they came into town, it would have attracted attention. And so certainly Herod would have given them an audience. And of course, Herod had no idea that the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords had been born. And so he calls in the priests and the scribes to find out what the scriptures had to say about the coming of the Messiah. Well, the scribes told him that Micah had prophesied that the Messiah would be born in Bethlehem of Judea. Now, folks, you also need to realize Bethlehem is just a stone's throw down the out the ridge from Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built on the top of a mountain, on the very top. And the ridge that goes out to the southeast and then drops off down to the Jordan Valley and to the Dead Sea area, it's only about 6 miles to go from Jerusalem, where the temple was, down to Bethlehem, where the Lord Jesus was born. And he told these men, you go and search diligently and find the Messiah. And then you report back to me so I can worship him also. And as I mentioned a moment ago, if you look at verse 16, Herod had absolutely no intention of worshiping the Lord Jesus. He wanted to know where he was so he could eliminate any potential rival to his throne. So the wise men, determined to find the king, left Herod, and as soon as they left Herod, the star reappeared in the night sky and led them until at last, in verse 11, they found what they were looking for. And if you look at verse 11, there's a little phrase that sort of inspired my thoughts this morning. It says in verse 11, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother. They were determined to find the Savior. And find him, they ultimately did. Now, I want us to think this morning on the subject of diligently searching until you find what you're looking for. Just a couple of thoughts. Number one, when you think about it, diligently searching is what all men do. Now, let me explain to you what I mean by that. We come, every one of us, we all come into this world with a natural bent towards sin. I wonder how many of us realize along the way that sin is not what we're looking for. It never satisfies, does it? It never gives us what we hope that it's going to give us. As a matter of fact, in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about sin, but only the joy of sin, but only for a season. That joy never lasts. The only thing that will give true peace to our souls is to do what the wise men did here and find the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only thing that is going to give true peace to our souls. I have so many times said from this pulpit that there is a God-sized hole in every man that only God can fill. And you look at this world today, you look around at our society, and you will find people going through life trying to plug that hole with everything and anything besides God. People will try to fill it with money and power and things and cars and drugs and alcohol and a job and a house and a boat and a motorcycle and anything else. But the only thing that fits in that hole that is in your soul is the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want you to notice here that the wise men were not content with seeing Jerusalem and King Herod. You see, the world's king was not enough. The holy temple sitting magnificently upon the Temple Mount, that was not sufficient. Israel's religion, with its priests and its scribes and its scrolls and its text and its orthodoxy, did not satisfy the longing of their hearts. No, they came to find the King of Kings. They came to find, to see the living Word. They were not satisfied with anything else. Man, I wish with all my heart that folks would just realize that the thing that they're looking for is the Lord Jesus. I wish that I could just stand up and get the whole nation's attention and just say to them, hey, what you're looking for, folks, is forgiveness of sin through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Church is not going to satisfy your spiritual itch. Religion is not going to fix the problems that you have. What you need is Jesus as your personal Savior, and then a fellowship, a relationship with Him as you serve Him and give yourself to following His will for your life. And when they came into the house and they saw Jesus, well, they were happy. That did it. And that's where you and I are going to find our true peace and our true happiness. You're not going to find it anywhere else. You're not going to find it in the latest gadgets or the newest car or the house with the most new toys in it. No, you're going to find that happiness in the Lord. When they saw the young child, the Bible says they bowed and they worshiped Him. Why? I'll tell you why. Because He was who they were looking for. They found what they were looking for. Folks, despite the obstacles, they knew that He was the one they were searching for. That's why they bowed and worshiped Him. As I was preparing the message and thinking about it, I just sat and thought about these guys back in Babylon. I can see them in my mind's eye following that star at night. Folks, these men were astronomers, not astrologers. Please understand that. These men were men of science. These men were intellectuals. These men were students. They were not taking people's money, giving them what they want to hear. That was not their line of work. They were men of scholar and men of brilliance. And I can see them now as they see the star. And then the Spirit of God speaks to their spirit, and their mind goes back, and they start to remember what they had learned under Daniel. They learn what they had heard through Daniel's teaching. Remember, Daniel was one of theirs. He was taken back from Jerusalem when Nebuchadnezzar came, and Daniel became the second in command for many, many years. They adored Daniel. He was a part of their history. And their mind started going back to Daniel's prophecies, where Daniel mentioned that the Lord, the Messiah, the Christ, the stone was coming. And so God speaks to their hearts and they say, He's here. There's the star. And so they start preparing and planning. I can see in my mind's eye 100, 200 camels. I can see in my mind's eye 100, 200, 500 people. I can see them all, those camels all decked out in red and purple carpets. I can see foot soldiers armed to the teeth. I can see the wagons stacked with supplies so that they don't starve to death coming across the desert. I can see the thousands of people, family and friends, gather around to send them off and watch them as they leave, waving until they're all out of sight. Such a wonderful and impressive group. But wait a minute, they're searching for the King of Kings who was just born in Israel. So I think it was a fitting spectacle if it happened like my mind sees it happen. And just think of the difficulties that they faced as they took off on their journey. They probably imagined that they would not be the only group out there on their way to Israel. They probably thought there will be many that will be on the roads on their way to worship the king. But when they got out on the roads, you know what? The roads were empty. Nobody seemed interested in the birth of the world's Savior. When they did run into somebody and they announced what they were doing, they were laughed at. The people said, "What? You're marching across the desert to see a Jewish baby? Seriously? Are you kidding me?" And then the folks of Jerusalem, they didn't even know anything about the birth of their king. So how discouraged they must have gotten. And folks, listen, it wasn't leave tonight, be there tomorrow. It took months, no doubt, to bring that group across the desert sands. But they would not be deterred. The truth is, there were probably 1,000 things to dishearten and to discourage them. But they marched on. And all of that determination paid off and is seen in the little phrase in verse 11 when it says, "And when they came into the house, they worshiped him." And folks, the point that I am making is this. We find in life what we're looking for. Why are you not happy with what you have been looking for in life? Well, it may be because what you're looking for in life is the wrong thing. Maybe if you would start looking for the right thing, if you would with great determination look for the Lord, you would find the peace and the joy and the happiness and the comfort that your soul longs to have. Then the second thing I want you to see, these men persevered because they were following a light from God. Hey folks, it was God that put that star in the sky. They were following a light from God. Let me ask you, if while studying one day, these wise men found an ancient Babylonian prophecy from one of theirs about a Jewish king that would one day be born, do you think that that would have been enough to stir them up to travel 500 miles across the sands to search out the king? I don't. Had it been one of their own, I don't think that would have moved them. But these men were students of science. These men studied the stars. They needed more than the light of men to carry them through. They needed a light hung in the sky by the hand of God. And that's exactly what God gave them. I don't worry for a minute. I mean, I believe with all my heart, these men were familiar with the Old Testament scriptures. I really do. I think they knew the Old Testament scriptures. I think they knew the book of Daniel. I think they honored Daniel. He was one of theirs. And Daniel told of this coming king. And then one night, there was the star. And when they saw the star, it spoke to their hearts. They understood that it was God that was moving them. They understood that that star was given of God, and it gave them strength to follow what God was doing in their lives. Had they been guided by anything less than that, I do not think that it would that they would have undertaken such an adventure and been as resolved to find him as they were. Now that leads me to ask this. What light has God shined on your pathway? What light has God shined on your pathway? Hey, you're here this morning for a reason. That's because God has some light for you. God has some light for you. That still small voice in the back of your mind, that's God's light. That still small voice that's saying, you need to serve me. You need to love me. You need to know me. That's light from God. This Bible is light from God. Creation is light from God. The Bible, the church, a gospel tract, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, all of these things are light from God. What light has God been shining on your pathway? Oh, my friend, whatever it is, use that light to walk in His direction. That is your star. That light that God is giving you, that's your star. You say, well, God's not speaking to me. Oh, yes, He is, dear friend. My Bible says that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. My Bible tells me, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. Oh yeah, there's a star shining for you. The question is, are you walking in the light that God is shining in your pathway? I assure you that God is speaking to you. You say, well, how do you know that? Because you're not dead yet. You're not dead yet. If you were dead, then there would be no need to speak to you. But you're here this morning. So let the perseverance of these wise men give you inspiration. Don't allow yourself to be sidetracked or pushed away or distracted from finding the Savior. Just think about it, folks. Through struggle, through ridicule, through insult, through obstruction, just follow the star that is leading you to the Savior. For once you find Him, just like these guys, you'll be filled with exceeding great joy. And then there's a third thing I want you to consider. Thirdly, they were not distracted regardless of all the distractions. They were not distracted regardless of all the distractions. In verse 11, they came into the house, and as I said a moment ago, I think that this house was in Nazareth. Little old Nazareth of Galilee. Just a little tiny town set on the side of a hillside. Those of you that have been to Israel with me, you've been to Nazareth. It's just a little place. It's so difficult to get that bus through that little road, through those little roads that go through Nazareth. Oh, it's so tiny, so small. The Lord Jesus was born in Bethlehem, but He was born in a stable. Joseph and Mary lived in Nazareth. And so they took their newborn baby back to Nazareth. And as I said a moment ago, when these wise men showed up, I think that it was a couple of years later after the night He was born. But notice that once they finally found Christ, He was in the house. No longer an infant baby, but a young child, maybe 2 years of age. Now, question. Do you think the people of Nazareth knew what these wise men knew? No way. No way. I don't think for a minute they knew. I think the people of Nazareth were just like people today in our society. They were so busy with their lives, and they didn't know a thing that was going on. They did not know who lived right in their midst. Can you imagine the house next door to the house of Joseph and Mary? And when all of a sudden this caravan pulls up and royalty steps out of a wagon, a covered wagon, when they get out and guards line, Secret Service line up on either side of them. Can you imagine when they come into town, every kid and his billy goat would be following them into town. And they pull up to a carpenter's house. They pull up to Joseph and Mary's place. What in the world could they want there? And then they walk over and knock on the door, and the door is open, and the oldest and the wisest looks and smiles and says, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews?" And Mary, with a big old smile on her face, she knows where he is. He's right over here. And inside they go. Can you see the people of Nazareth standing around looking at this and wondering, wow, who's in there? They didn't even know. You know, it's just like our world today, isn't it? Our world today has no idea what this Bible says is coming. Man, our Lord could come back at any moment. There is nothing that prevents the trumpet from sounding, but how blind most of the world is. How little do we know what is going on all around us? We get up, we go to work, we come home, we watch our games, we cheer for our teams, we enjoy our vacations, but we have no idea what is transpiring right at our very door. Just imagine the shock. So, question, why did the wise men see him when all the rest of Israel was blinded to him? And the answer is, they saw him because they were looking for him. You see what you're looking for. Does that make sense to you? You see what you're looking for. They were searching for him. And simply because they were seeking him, they saw him. And folks, that's my point this morning. You see what you're looking for. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? And when they asked that question in Jerusalem, it troubled all Jerusalem. It troubled them because they weren't looking for him. You know, there are folks that can come in here, sit down. I don't know what they're wanting. I don't know what they're expecting. I can't ever catch up to them to ask them. They're always out of here 10 seconds after I make them uncomfortable. So, you know, they'll come in, sit down, and I'll preach, and then I just wonder, what were you looking for? You know, they'll sit 10 minutes, and then you'll see husband look over to wife, wife look over to husband. This is not what we were expecting. I just want to ask somebody, what were you expecting? You want me to juggle stuff, tell jokes? What do you want me to do? I don't understand. I thought we were here to hear about Jesus. You know? One guy asked me a couple weeks ago, he said, you do realize you preach for 40 minutes? I said, yes, sir. He said, do you do that every week? I said, no, not every week. On Sunday nights, I preach for usually 50 minutes to an hour. Oh, I got to look. I don't know what we want. But I tell you what you should want is Jesus. I mean, that ought to be what you're looking for. These men were more than stargazers. They were anxious searchers for the truth. And nothing was going to dissuade them from finding the truth. Where others saw nothing but a child, they saw, because they were searching for him, a king. We read where Caesar said, I came, I saw, I conquered. But these wise men came, saw, and worshiped. Man, I wish that's what you'd do. I wish you'd come in here and see Jesus and worship, because worship is something better than conquering. You know, in Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, which if you haven't read that, you really ought to read that. That is an awesome thing. In Pilgrim's Progress, he calls the church, he calls it the house beautiful. So let me ask you, dear friend, listen, think this thing through. When you come to church, when you come into the house beautiful, what do you see? What do you see? Well, it all depends on what you want to see. Wise men still seek him. And even better, wise men still see him. If when you come to church, to the beautiful house, what are you looking for? What are you looking for? If you're seeking to find fault, you're probably going to find it very easily. Because the singing, the preaching, the teaching, and the people are not perfect. So you're probably going to find fault. But if when you come to church, to the house beautiful, if it is the Lord Jesus that you are seeking, I assure you, I promise you that I am going to do my best to take this Bible and to present Jesus as clearly to you as I know how to do it. I want you to see Jesus. That should be what all of us are searching for. Now, there's one more thing I want you to see. Look at verse 11. Look at verse 11. I want you to see one more thing. It says, and when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped, what's the next word? Him, not her. Hello. They worshiped him, not her. I want you to look at the order in which Matthew records what happened. First, the young child, and then the mother. Not the other way around. Not the other way around. First, the young child. It was a child and mother picture, not mother and child picture. There are millions, listen to me now, there are millions who cannot see the child because they are engrossed with gazing at the mother. But the wise men saw the child and then gave a glance over to the mother. But they saw the child first. They had found what they were looking for when they saw the child, because they worshiped him. Now, my friend, let me ask you, what are you looking for today? What are you looking for? That's the question. Is it the Lord Jesus? I sure hope so. Because he's the only one that is going to give to your soul what is needed. That little hole, that little emptiness, that little question mark that you feel, that is the crying of your soul to know the Lord. Oh, that you'd find him right here this morning.